Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ba-da-da-ba-da.
Halala Show Season 4, mixed number
22.
And we've been doing this a while, all right? I forgot what season we were on, all right?
Look.
Pandemic, right? Just, happens. I lost track of time.
I was thinking, we started this, what, 5 years ago?
2018, friend. 5 years ago, almost. Wow. I think we started in August.
We were so fresh.
I know.
Nobody had knee pain.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had shoulder pain.
Nobody had diabetes at that time.
Nobody had diabetes. Hello.
Hello there. Surprise.
But hello. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. This is the Halo Halo Show, and we talk about everything and anything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
That means our lives, because we also talk about what happened throughout the week.
Yes, indeed. It's called Where You Been, and if in case it is your first time, that's Rika G over there, a little spunky short-haired bicycle
hello
girl.
There,
Rika
mate.
G, all the way in the UK. You're right.
You're right.
You're right there. You're right there. And my name is JC, and of course, we are hosting this podcast. So we start with Where You Been, where we talk about our own lives, and then we jump into the TTs, or the trending topics for today. And we have three on the agenda. We didn't record last week, so we're going to do a little pahabol, a little catch-up here.
I know.
But there's also some recent stuff on the agenda. So what do we have on the list today?
So first of all, we're going to talk about the elephant in the room.
Yes.
It is a typhoon that's coming in the Philippines, I believe. And I hope everybody's keeping safe and keeping dry. I believe when it was outside of the Philippines, it was called Typhoon Mawar.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe when it lands in the Philippines, it's called Typhoon Betty.
Okay.
Yeah. So Typhoon Mawar or Typhoon Betty. It hit the Philippines already.
Already,
right?
So yeah. Well, I can see it here. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I hear the lightning. So if you hear any lightning strikes, that's just the thunder. And if you hear a lightning strike and you don't hear me again, you can,
electricity.
Say farewell to me.
No! Shut up, bro!
We're also going to talk about Miss Universe, by the way. Miss Universe Philippines, which took place last week. Of course, we already know the winner, so if you've been following, Michelle D took home the prize. But we will talk a little bit about the things that happened during the event, including...
There were a lot.
A lot. There was controversies, there was great answers, mostly controversies. So we'll talk about that in a bit. And then, what's the last thing?
The last thing that we're going to talk about is Slater Young. I know we're a little bit late to the party, but Slater Young... said something on their podcast, and we're just going to talk about that. I'm sure you guys already know about it, and you guys have probably have opinions about it.
Mm-hmm.
I do too, I guess. Not
Same.
So strong.
Me too, but, not so strong.
Yeah, not so strong, but yeah. We're going to talk about that. So I guess we're going to start with Where You Been?
Where You Been? But before that, just, we also have an odd diva at the end talking about Taylor Swift and some weird things that they're... Because, her Eras tour, right, is going on. Apparently, tickets are like thousands of dollars now. But there are fans who attended her concert who are selling stuff online from the concert. And not just memorabilia. We'll tell you about it. And it is pretty odd.
I'm up in defense. My arms are up.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I kind of get it. So we're going to talk about that later on. That's kind of interesting, too.
Indeed, indeed. All right. So let's start with Where You Been. I believe you started last week, right?
Yes, I did. Okay. So you start this week.
I will. And I have a lot to talk about, man. Because last week I did excuse myself from my podcast duties here on the Halala Show. Because we went to Bataan, man. Bataan.
Ooh.
North of Metro Manila, just in case you're not good with geography. But it's about a three-hour drive. You have to take the NLEX to the SE Tech. So my main reason for going there was to host an event for SM Cyberzone. So SM Cyberzone, shout out to them. Because they got me, like, just before pandemic as their voiceover artist for their YouTube videos. And then it progressed to, like, live VOs. And then this is the first time that I got to host for them in person. And I think I did a fantastic job, friend.
They were probably like, man, we're stuck with this person.
Yeah, man. You know,
we made the wrong decision. No, just kidding.
It was great.
But did like, you know that there's like a heavy, like a history of the history of Bataan? That's
yes.
Like
the history. So did you go around?
Yeah.
So the first day was not really the historical landmark sightseeing. So first day we got there early, Mercy and I, we went to this place called Mariveles, which is south of Bataan. So the main area where SM and near the expressway, you have to travel an hour by car south to Mariveles. We went there to go look for some sites, sightseeing. But I will say this, dude. Bataan needs to up their tourism game, online or whatever. You literally have to delve deep into some random blogs of people that I've never heard of. And I even with that said, I would type in top destinations in Mariveles, right? And then when I put it into Waze, it would lead me to the ocean, or a gated thing where we're not allowed to enter. So it was really tough, but eventually you found a few lookout spots. It's mostly scenic views, so that's always a good thing if you're into that. And then I think to really enjoy that part, the south part where there are a lot of coves, you have to take a tour. But ang mahal ng tour eh. If it was just us two on that day and there was no walk-in, so wala kaming kasabay, it would have been 7,000, I think, per head. So it's pretty rough.
Oh, so liliit siya the more you have, the more people you have. Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. So maybe, in a future return to Mariveles, that might be something along the way. It's called Five Fingers, the tour, the Five Fingers Cove, which looks great in pictures online, so I really want to check that out. But Mariveles was all right. And then the second day was the hosting. And the third day is when we did all the historical shit, right? So we went to Mount Binan, which is a really well-known spot. There's a giant cross up there. They're doing renovations on the cross. I asked a friend who went there a while ago, and apparently the renovations was still going on in 2018. So I don't know if it's a second set of renovations. But inside the giant cross, there's supposed to be an elevator that you can go up and check out, the 360 panoramic view. But unfortunately, they're still doing it. But down below, there's a shrine. It looks like a mausoleum. I don't know what the right term is. It looks like it's something you would find in ancient Rome. It's a white marble structure. And inside they detail, it's supposed to give it's a memorial for the soldiers that were lost during World War II, American and Filipino soldiers. And me, who never took Philippine history, right? I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with World War II Philippine history because you went to school here. But me, I knew literally probably zero about it. I've heard of the Bataan Death March. So I was able to see markers along the way. But to understand it fully, going to Mount Binan to get the little historical backdrop. And then going down, so it's on the mountain, right? So that was the first stop of the day. Great views, by the way. Even if you're not interested in history, it's still worth going up there to check it out. But if you go down and you look for you go to another destination maybe 10 or 15 minutes away, the World War II Museum, that's where I really learned a lot.
I saw those in your stories. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I really make it a point that I don't look at your stories so that when I hear the stuff that happened throughout your week, it's fresh.
I don't
zone out and be like, I already saw this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I saw those in your stories.
Yeah, so there's a marker, a statue there that marks the location where the Americans surrendered to the Japanese because they were overrun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then inside the museum, and unfortunately, you wouldn't have seen it anyway on my stories because we're not allowed to take pictures and videos in there.
I saw. Mm-hmm.
But inside, they detail the significance of Bataan as it was basically it just showed the Filipinos and the Americans fought like hell, even despite insurmountable odds. And it showed the brutality of the Bataan Death March in a little, ano tawag din? It's like a, they have not cartoon, ano tawag din? Mga statue shit that depict the events. There's a word for that. I completely forgot the term. Diorama? Is that right? I don't know.
The small ones?
Parang ganun.
A diorama is a smaller version of things,
stuff.
Right?
Yeah, parang diorama. Let's just say it was a diorama that portrayed stuff that happened during the death march.
Right.
And how the conditions were, it was awful, man. And then there were some cool artifacts from the times. Like there's a newspaper from World War II, like that era. There's like real newspapers, real weapons, real army outfits. It was really like a great lesson to me, being someone who didn't know the history. But also it's just cool to kind of see stuff that, you know, has been preserved for so long, right? I mean, I know I knock on history a lot. Like, history was probably one of my least favorite subjects in school because I'm like, man, it already passed. Like, why do we care about this? Right? No, I'm serious. I hated history in school, but it was U.S. history. So maybe I don't care about U.S. history as much. But as somebody who moved to the Philippines because I really wanted to connect with my roots here, my country, like it was really one of the main reasons I moved here. I wanted to travel the country, which I plan to do, you know, in the upcoming future. That to me really was so important to me to kind of look at the history of a place that, you know, I've never been to. It's my first time in Bataan. And yeah, it was freaking fantastic, man. Like, I really had a good time there. Although I will say it's not the most sightseeing heavy place. It was a learning experience and it was really great, man. So that was my, you know, overall trip in Bataan. I know I kind of glossed over a lot of stuff. We did stay at an Airbnb. Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, but to be fair, just to like, because I just have some thoughts on probably why you experienced that or whatever. Because like for me, I do remember like going to Bataan. Yeah, it is a very historical place, you know. But I feel like yung access namin, the access that we got to Bataan was through like field trips, through like tourism offices and stuff like that. So I kind of do agree that if it's going to help them to like up their game, you know, especially their online presence.
Yeah.
And, diba?
I think
because
so.
It's such a beautiful place. And not just because for me, ako, the only place that I've been there to was... Oh gosh, I don't even remember what it's called. Basta yung merong mga missiles, yung merong mga parang mga war
baka mga binan because they had like cannons and stuff.
Yeah, cannons and every missile. Yeah.
Diba? Pwede din, diba? Missiles. May missiles naman sa World War II, ano ba?
Hindi ko kasi alam yung tawag eh.
Okay.
But like cannons and everything. But yeah, so probably that was the place that we went to. And honestly, if you do plan to go back, I suggest that you take the ferry.
Yeah. Because,
yeah, that's what we did. Did you do that or did you drive all the way there?
Just driving. And I think that's what I was saying earlier. Like that's the reason why I want to go on the tour next time. Because a lot of the stuff is like waterside. And we don't really have access to that via Coche, right? So
yes,
I think so.
So actually, I think what you do is you drive to the port to Batangas, I believe, and then yun or sa Manila lang ata port ng Manila, and then
maybe
you take the ferry, and it's so nice. Mm-hmm. I remember taking that trip with my family.
Yeah,
but yeah.
All right.
So continue.
I will look out for that. And you know what? I was thinking maybe I could start like a website like that, like a Philippine whatever.
Right?
Tour. Like, I don't know. You just gave me the bright idea. Like, maybe, man. That might be a thing that I could conceptualize. Other than that, man, we stayed at Airbnb. It was a great Airbnb, but, and I messaged Rika about this. Well, not directly about this, but there are an army of frogs there, bro.
Your enemy.
My
Your
worst
number one enemy. Number one undesirable.
The only thing that I would not do anything with for money. Like literally, you know how some people say, what would you do for $1 billion? I would literally do almost anything. But if you throw a frog in there, it's game over, man. Just let me be poor.
I feel like it would be different if the money was in front of you.
That's my thing. Like I physically freeze up, man. I cannot move. Like when I see a frog... Like, I feel like I am having a mini anxiety attack.
That's it. Your weakness.
Yeah, man. Because they jump in different directions every time they move. Like, you don't know what they're thinking. I hate that. I hate it, man. They could not be looking at you, and then, like, 1 second later, they're jumping towards you. It's the worst feeling in the world. But it's a great Airbnb, right?
Imagine si Marisa magkasama.
Dude, she was protecting me, bruh. She was protecting me, bro. Lucky. Oh, I was like, come on, please. Get out of here. Dude, I was about to sleep in the car, man. We came home like from the hosting, and I saw a frog like by
was
the front.
Because it was it inside your room?
No. It was just outside, like from the parking area, walking to the room. It. Dude, I saw it in the middle, like guarding the fucking Airbnb, like a king frog, like defenseman. And I said, I'm gonna go sleep in the car, like that. I literally, until it hopped away, I was like, oh my god. But other than that, man, things to watch: Fast and the Furious X Family. You know we love that shit, man. It's still crazy. It's still a crazy, like, it's just as crazy as the last maybe three, where they defy all laws of physics and
the
gravity.
Best. Yeah. It's the best, then.
It is freaking great. Jason Momoa is a fantastic villain and addition to the cast. He's the best villain in the Fast and the Furious franchise ever, I would say. So just worth it alone just to watch it. But also note to anyone who like me, didn't know, it's part one of like two or maybe even three. Like, so they split the movie, kind of like Infinity War and Avengers. So mabibitin ka. Mabibitin ka. Yeah, mabibitin ka. Other than that, what else? I mean... Ted Lasso, I know you haven't watched it yet, Rika G, because I know when you watch it, you're going to tell me, right? I know sure. When you watch, because every time I recommend this show, right, once they watch it, they come back to me and say, I don't know why I waited so long. I don't know. I'm serious. This show is life.
I'm sure.
It's a life-changing show. And I don't mean that in
patronizing?
No, not patronizing. What's the word when you're like... I really mean what I say. I'm not kind of over-exaggerating. Okay. There's a word for that. But anyway, it really is. It changes your perspective on life, on love, on friendship, on teamwork, on just being a good person. It is a game changer. It's one of those things like the movie. Sometimes movies resonate with people. This is probably one of maybe three or four shows, maybe including The Good Place, that has kind of... change my outlook on life. So I highly recommend it.
The Good Place I watched.
Yeah. So Good Place, but it's a Good Place a little goofier though.
Yeah. But the thing is, like with a Good Place, for some reason I stopped, maybe because it got a little
heavy.
Complicated or heavy. Or
a
something.
Little. Yeah. It is a pretty heavy in some parts, especially when they go down to like the bad place. And then you think about that existential crisis shit. But yeah, it's along those same lines. So but I think it's a little bit lighter because there's more comedy in this one, and it's more grounded in reality versus The Good Place.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I had an audition also after, you know, so Ted Lasso, go watch that shit because just to kind of convince you, they're supposedly ending the show next week. It's the last episode of the series, not the season, the series. So, and Apple Plus has a 7-day free trial. So, if you can really binge watch the whole three seasons in a day and a half, maybe most of you will watch it in a day, I guarantee it. But over the course of 7 days, you can get it done easy. So, now is your chance.
So, why do you think supposedly they're going to end it? You're not convinced.
Oh, because they haven't really announced it, but based on the storylines in the third season, it looks like they're going to wrap it up because I don't see any way moving forward. How they could make a season four without it. You know, I don't want to spoil anything, but without it kind of being a different show completely. Okay. Right? But they might have a spinoff. I feel like that's the way they might go. But for Ted Lasso and his story and the story of, you know, Ted Lasso, I think it's going to end next week. So go check that out. And the only thing that I have left on my Where You Been is I had an audition and I hosted a workshop, Rika G. I don't know if I told you. No, I didn't post it on stories. But I hosted a workshop for Q Radio student jocks, man. Real
talk. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I hosted a workshop. I have another one this weekend. And I the first workshop, which was last Sunday, it was about, you know, finding your voice on air and on radio. And I think, friend, I could be a great workshop guy. You know, I gave out pencils and paper, and the exercises I did were interactive. I didn't do any slideshows that were boring. Like, I didn't use any screens. Like, nothing wrong with using screens, but I always find doing things hands-on for me is like more effective. And I think I did a fantastic job, man. I know it's like humble brag, but it was so fun because I was able to impart what I'm truly passionate about, which is, you know, telling stories and finding who you really are. And I think it was just so much fun to see kids learn from me who you can see that they're passionate about also doing something like what we do. And yeah. it was
And you
great.
Were there at and one point.
I was.
You were in their shoes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you understand.
And I wish that somebody had told me or taught me what I taught them. I mean, in a sense, you know, I mean, I'm sure someone else could have done it better than me. But I, you know, it was cool that I could be that, you know, that big brother kuya shit, right? You know what I'm saying?
controlling a house with hidden cameras.
Yep, pretty much. Like, I wish I could have been that guy watching over somebody. I wish I had somebody watching over me. And I felt like I was able to do that.
That's nice also. That must seem nice and that must feel nice on your part as well because you know that they're there for that purpose, mm-hmm. right? Like they're not being forced to do it. It's not a class. Nobody's graded or whatever.
No.
Like you know that there's this energy that whatever you tell them or you give them, you will get it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, that was my fear before when like teaching in a class or like when people ask me to speak in a class or whatever, because I know that they're probably not interested in radio or audio or this career mm-hmm. and they're just going to.
For the grade.
You know, yeah, for the grade or they're just going to be there just for that reason. So that was my fear before. But in this case, they're there for that reason. Because they want to learn, you know, the ropes on mm-hmm. radio. That's pretty cool.
And they're a great group of kids, man. I fucking sound like an old man. Oh, my God. They're such a great group of kids, man.
They're like, what, 10 years younger than
me? I know, but, you know, I'm like, fuck. I've never said that phrase ever in my life. They're a great group of kids.
You just gotta acknowledge it, man.
Yeah,
you gotta acknowledge it. Yeah. That's it. They're a great group of kids.
And then I rode that, you know, that high because I really felt like a high after doing it because it felt so good to kind of do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I rode that high into an audition that I had over the weekend or over this past Monday. For it's like an esports thing, but they're making a new show, and I'm really passionate about this. Like they're gonna talk about if I get it right. Like social issues, mental health, but they're incorporating video games, which you already know I love. And I think I did a great job, man, like on that too, because I feel like even though I taught the workshop, I feel like I still learn for myself. I don't know if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And I was really, I felt like I really brought out who I am as a person mm-hmm. because that's something that I taught the workshop kids. And I'm not sure if you can share this experience, but when I first went on air, I was, you know, when I was thinking about how I wanted to sound and how I wanted to be on air, I wasn't thinking about who I was. I was thinking about, you know, other people, like who's good at this. Maybe I should sound like them. Maybe I should talk like this. Maybe I should be like that. And then only when I realized that there's no one cooler than you, like in terms of like how you portray yourself on air, like. You can't mm-hmm. be anyone else but yourself. And I don't know if you had something similar like along the way. I'm sure you did. Do you have any like input on that?
Yeah, because if you think about it, when you start thinking about, oh, what will other people think that's cool? And you start imitating other people, diba parang you will kind of blend into the background when if you focus on yourself and what you like. That's actually, diba parang yun yung sinasabi sa atin before in RX na parang, you know, we're there for your personality.
Mm-hmm.
That's uniquely you. And that's how you will stand out instead mm-hmm. of, but I kind of get it, especially when you're, you know, you're new in the industry, you're young, you're trying to grasp at straws, kind of like, oh, what worked before? And that's what you're going to, you know, hold close to your heart and mm-hmm. be like, well, this worked before, you know, acting stupid or acting, you know, like a jarhead or whatever.
Right.
So, and then you realize that that's not you. Because honestly, you know, like you said, like I've been there multiple times. Na parang, who do I want to be on air?
Mm.
And then you quickly, I mean, like, I realized only like years after that, just, you know, you, what
yeah. people like you are, for you. People like
how
you
how you are in closed doors, mm-hmm. honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. But to be fair, there's also that fear, mm-hmm. that immense fear that people are just going to judge you for that or, you know what I mean? But yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the way I told them, like, if people like you or don't like mm-hmm. you, like, I would rather be liked for being me. And if you dislike me for being me, then you're not my audience anymore. Right?
Yeah, true.
You know, like you just, true. You live mm-hmm. and die as yourself. And there's nothing and plus, wrong with that.
Yeah. And plus, if you think about it, you were chosen to be in this program.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, but yeah. might as well try it out, right? Try 100%. Out whatever works for you.
Yeah. So that was my week, man. I know it's pretty loaded, but Finn, how about you, friend? What's new in the last,
I guess, 2 weeks? The last 2 weeks, well, honestly, last week was just me in front of my computer because there were deadlines left and right for my master's course. Thankfully I already submitted everything, although I had to like double check everything. And you know me, like I get stressed out even if I already submitted everything, I get stressed out by that idea. So I double check everything and I just can't celebrate the fact that, oh, I'm done with it. And I don't know if you have that problem too. Like I have a hard time celebrating those little things.
Okay.
And yeah, so you know how sometimes, let's say you get accepted at a job that you really like.
Yeah.
I would get really stressed. I would be like, oh no, what if I fail? Oh no, what if this happens? Or what if they don't like me in the office or whatever? Instead of just celebrating. Mm. So please, someone tell me how I can get rid of that, because I don't want to spoil the happy things that's happening in my life.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, that happened. I actually went out with a couple of friends on Saturday because it was my friend's Charlotte's
name drop, Charlotte.
Birthday.
She's a real person. I saw the pictures,
she's
man.
See,
can't fool
told
me now.
You, she's
I saw the
real.
Pictures.
She has an Instagram
yeah, she does.
Account and
she
everything verified by me. But yeah, it was her birthday. We went out to a pub. Which is pretty cool because it's nice. The weather is nice now here. It gets dark at around 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So at 8 p.m. there's still sun. Literally, you won't know how to process it. So we were at the pub. We were drinking beers, and somebody brought cake. We lit candles, and then after that, we went to this. I don't know what you call it, an events place, a club or whatever. It's called the Jam Jar.
They play
alternative music. So instead of like going to a club where they play like Ariana Grande, Nelly and stuff like that, they play like alternative music.
Okay.
I don't know how to call it, like indie folk kind of thing.
Oh, people shit. The hardest to define genres.
I know.
Indie, adult contemporary?
Contemporary
that,
alternative indie folk. I think that's it.
Okay.
Let's boil it down to that.
All right.
And then, so I wouldn't necessarily say that it's like something that I would gravitate to, but it was really nice to experience that type of like quote unquote club. But I guess it was just an events place because they had like people selling their own craft beer and people like doing like graffitis of your name and stuff like that. So it was really fun. We ended up going home at 1:30 or 2 a.m., which was the latest that I'm out here in Bristol, because I usually leave at around, like I usually go home at around 11 whenever I go out, because, you know, I don't really know the place that much yet and I want to be safe and everything. But yeah, I went home at like 2, I slept at 3, and I'm like, wow, this is like the latest, one of the latest.
Look at you animal.
Times.
You're an animal.
I know.
Huh?
Party animal at the Jam Jar. So that was really fun. The next day was also really nice. The weather was sunny. So my friend, it was Charlotte's birthday that day on a Sunday, and I invited her to just have a little coffee in the park near me. They have this little coffee cart there, and there were dogs and kids and people playing. Like, because the sun is out, people were like topless. They were sunbathing in the middle of the freaking park.
Hey, take me
there,
man.
That's what happens. Yeah, bro, that's what happens here. And even if the sun is shining, the wind was still cold, so it was really nice. So Monday came, I was supposed to start my work placement / internship, and I don't know how to say it because in the Philippines we call it internship.
Okay.
But here, so I had my work placement, but they canceled. So I honestly don't remember what I did. I think I did like 2 loads of laundry. Oop, that's my phone. Mm-hmm. I did 2 loads of laundry. I worked out. And then the next day we had a class, a check-in in uni. Wow, in uni. and then we then started officially the work placement. So now I'm doing my work placement in a community radio station here in Bristol, which is pretty cool.
Your story? Is that the one in your stories?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So the one that's cool. It's in my stories. It's called Ujima Radio, and they're pretty chill. Met the station manager. She was pretty chill. Gave us a tour around the whole station, and I was like, yeah, this is my vibe, you know? I know this feeling of being in a radio station, like how people work around it. So that was pretty cool. Actually, yesterday, which was, this is going to be my last thing that I'm going to tell you. I had an interview with one of my main interviewees or one of my main guests for that big documentary that I'm doing for this master's course. So it's a documentary that's 30 minutes long and it's supposed to be about this like topic that you care about. So I was pretty nervous yesterday because, you know, they drove down to my campus and I didn't want them to like waste their time. So I got so anxious about it. But it went well. We had like a whole studio room all to ourselves. I gave them coffee, paid for their parking and everything. Because you know how it's like, when you have a whole team behind you, when you're doing, let's say, a podcast or whatever, you would have people, you know, doing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, checking the mics, checking the levels, checking if they have coffee or food or whatever.
Damn.
But yesterday, that was all me, man. Wow. That was all me. And every single step, I would have to, like, remind them that, I'm so sorry. I have to, you know, go out and get your coffee, but I'll be back,
okay.
You know, because it's just me and this team of one.
Yeah.
But they were a father-daughter duo, and they're very good. They're very nice to talk to. They're funny. They're, you know, they have such a big personality, and I think I got lucky with this interview. And I don't know if you get the feeling of contacting a random stranger, asking them if they want to, you know, go in front of a mic and tell their story. And for me, it is the most nerve-wracking thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how journalists do it
and
be like, hey, what's up? I need you to go in front of the camera
and be vulnerable
and just talk. And be vulnerable. Just talk. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so nerve-wracking. So that happened yesterday, and I feel like that was a big win for me, and I'm gonna enjoy it, okay?
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm gonna try to enjoy it.
Yeah. And now you can work on the levels for the Hala Hala show.
I know.
And stuff, right?
The levels.
You know how to do
it
now.
Is it still going?
Man.
Is my recording still going?
It's okay, still going, man.
Okay. It's still going. Anyway, I did watch all the eight?
You watched all of them?
All of the eight movies this week.
What? That's crazy.
It's crazy, man.
That's crazy,
and
bro.
Here's the thing. Like, every single time I have, like, a question, because I've watched before, loads of times, and I'm a fan of the movies. I haven't read the books, and don't come for me, but I love the movies. And I feel like this time around, when I watched all the 8 movies, I was just looking for things that I missed. So every single time I question something, I pause and then I go on Google. So now I'm on my Google history search and I have here like, why did Harry drop the stone before Voldemort killed him? And then how did Harry get the resurrection stone and who originally owned the Elder Wand and everything? Like, literally,
that shit still
everything confuses
me. The Deathly Hallows stuff, I still get
confused
by that.
I had to search it again. This time around, when I watched it, the Deathly Hallows, I was literally on the lookout for stuff that I don't understand. And one of them was the Deathly Hallows.
Mm-hmm.
So I now understand it, because if you all have 3, you're the master of death and you don't die.
Damn.
You cheat death. I believe that's why
Voldemort
wants 3 of them.
Okay.
Yeah. But at one point, okay, I'm getting into it too much.
Yeah.
But like at one point, Dumbledore had 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The invisibility cloak, the wand, and the whatever the other one was, right?
And the stone.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, but what were you going to say?
No, look at you. You're like a little Harry Potter like historian now, huh?
I know. So yeah, I watch all the 8 movies and my Google search is just filled with Harry Potter questions. So that was really fun. And I know I'm going to do it again.
Next time you do that, you got to play a Harry Potter drinking game, man. Like every time someone whips out a wand or I don't know, every time Hermione says some snarky, like smart ass comment, you know what? That will be fucking lit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. The best part was when Ron came back from being gone, you know, being mad or whatever. Mm. And then Hermione was really mad at him and Ron was trying to win her back or whatever. That was like one of the funniest like scenes for me. Mm. And then on TikTok, a lot of people have been like making fun of Voldemort and how he laughs. Because there's like this, there's this one scene when Harry was dead, Hagrid was carrying him, and then Voldemort kind of just laughed like this, like, hey, hey, or something.
My favorite is like the way he says,
bro, as in, like, okay. And then I found this, okay, last Harry Potter thing.
Right.
I found this one guy on TikTok who had like a mashup of a song and a Harry Potter song, and this is... Wait, let me show. Wait, let me. Let, I don't know if this is allowed, but it's on TikTok.
Nah, pull it up.
Okay. Hey, ready? Wait. Here.
I can't hear it.
You can't? You can't hear it?
Is it on your end? I'll hear it later.
Oh, right. Yeah. But anyway, it's like the video is captioned POV or at a wedding and the bride and groom like Harry Potter. And then he mashed up a song with like a song from Harry Potter, like that one from Goblet of Fire.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going to send you this one.
All right.
So I hope you guys thoroughly enjoy that.
Yeah.
And Finn.
All right. Let's whoop out to the first TT. We're talking about Typhoon Mawar, or it will now be named Typhoon Betty once it makes its way into the Philippines. So it is, the Pagasa is saying that Mawar or Betty may re-intensify into a super typhoon, Rika G. Have you seen the videos of the typhoon, wow. Typhoon Mawar hitting Guam? It is
in Guam.
Wild.
Yes. Yeah,
wild.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty destructive, and hopefully we can withstand the forces. But can you hear that? I don't know if you can hear that.
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already, you can already feel the effects of it here in Metro Manila. The thunder and lightning is so insane. But they're saying that the cyclone is currently packing winds, at least when it reached Guam, of up to 185 kilometers per hour near the center, and gusts of wind up to 320 kph. I don't know what kph stands for, but I'm guessing
kilometers
it's like
kilometers per hour.
No, KM. And di ba KMH? Oh, I don't know. Galit na siya, no. Mawar, because we don't know that. KPH. Yeah. But it's set to make fall, like you said earlier on the pod, Saturday or Sunday, when we will really feel the effects of it. And because of this, a lot of things are getting moved around, canceled. I actually not lost out, but they had to move a hosting that I have tomorrow.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the date that they moved it to, I have a conflict with. So I'm not able to do that hosting because that's how intense this storm or this typhoon is set to be.
If you don't have to go out, please don't go out.
Yeah.
Keep indeed. Safe in your homes.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just a little bit of an update. I feel like it's important to talk about. Yeah, but you were here, right, when the typhoon, like the bigger, like the big typhoons were here, Ondoy and whatnot. You were living here, right? Because I never have felt
all of the
super,
typhoons before 2022, before 2023. I experienced all of it.
All of them, yeah. But I've never really... kind of felt the huge force of one, and hopefully it doesn't reach here, but can you just tell real quick what it's like, how scary it is, like to really be, you know, knee or like waist high water, like to see that? I've never seen that in person, and I don't ever want to, but it must be so scary.
I've never experienced where the water was like waist deep, but I know in Ryan's area in Antipolo, they do get floods a lot, and even just like light rain, sometimes they get floods. And what they would do is, obviously they already have like a, and this happens in a lot of households, they already have like this routine where they know if it's going to flood, they're going to put the TVs on top of the cabinets, everything that's like plugged, they need to unplug, mm-hmm. all of, and if you think about it, like your rugs, your couches or whatever, they're all gone. They're all like, even if it stays there, they're all soaked. So you need to get rid of them. So that's what usually happens. And can you imagine those people who don't have a second floor in their house? And they don't know where to go except on top of their house. And that's what usually happens. And hopefully it doesn't happen this time around. And please, everyone, please keep safe. And I hope we have the numbers that people can call if they need help. I didn't pull it up.
I don't have it up. But we'll include it in the podcast description. How about that, mm-hmm. right? So if you can call those, if you need to call those numbers, and you happen to be able to listen to this podcast while things are rough, you can use those numbers to help out, or to if you need help, maybe call those as well. But yeah, I mean, you can hear it in the background. It's a paid actor, right? Mawar right here is with the sound effects. Shall we wapow to the next TT?
Wapow, right. Miss Universe Philippines.
Yeah, first and foremost, congratulations to the newest Miss Universe Philippines, Michelle Marquez D from Makati, representing Makati. She won the whole thing. She was, I thought, very good in the Q&A. I don't know if you got to catch any of that or if you saw clips of it. She was asked two questions. The first was about income inequality in the Philippines and how they could maybe close that gap. And then all the final five had to answer the same second question, which was, we give the world our best for you. What is the best that we could offer to the rest of the world? And why do you consider it so? So we're not going to delve into the answers of all the five top five. But I thought Michelle did a fantastic job on the Q&A. Did you watch any of the answers from any of the top five?
I did not watch it, but I saw some like tweets and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think one of the issues that I saw, like one of the answers that I saw on Twitter that people tweeted and they had an issue with it was transgender women in sports, in women's sports.
Yes, that was answered by Baguio.
That was a whole issue on Twitter that I don't think I had the mental capacity to read to dive into.
Yeah.
But the most notable thing that I actually came across on different stories of like Instagram stories of people was the technical difficulties.
Oh, definitely.
That they had to like step back and turn around instead of the top 10. It went back to top 18.
Yeah. So what happened there, SGV, which is the official auditing partner of Miss Universe Philippines, or maybe just Miss Universe. I'm not sure if it's just Miss Universe Philippines mm-hmm. or the whole Miss Universe thing. They released a statement earlier this week. I think it was on Tuesday. So they said, here's the quote, in the selection of the top 10 finalists, a technical issue occurred that affected the tabulation of the judges' scores. The issue was immediately detected, and upon detection, they implemented a contingency plan to manually validate the results. So that's why they had, so the top 10 went back to the top 18. So all the top 18 were allowed to participate in the evening gown in an effort to make the top five.
Right.
And I guess it's a huge impact because one of the contestants, si Angelique Manto, who I actually was in the Mix VJ search with in 2017, Small World, believe it or not, so we know each other. She didn't make the top 10 initially, but she was selected to make the top five. So that was a huge thing because everyone in the top 10, all the other four from the top five, were already in the initial top 10 announced. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you think about that, because of that tabulation error, I think it's the right thing to do because they did make a mistake. The people in the top 10, I'm sure the six that didn't make it from the top 10 initial must have been upset or like, they in essence, they were fighting over more spot. They were fighting more contestants for the top five spots is how I see it. Yeah, so that was one of the main issues. If you watched the whole thing, there were so many breaks. Like, you were wondering what was going on, what was taking mm-hmm. so long. It went on until, like, midnight, friend.
I mean, here's the thing. We know, because we work at events, and although it's not as this big of an event, we know that if there's technical difficulty, even if what you see on stage is, like, calm, collected, what happens backstage with everybody is just chaos and... And I can only imagine what's happening, like who's shouting at who at that point.
It was...
Oh, my.
It looked chaotic.
So this this means that the top 18 was fighting for the top 5 spots. So mas madaming tao.
Mas madami,
Oh, I get it. I get the uproar.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was a tabulation error, the correct thing to do would to be... I mean, the ideal thing to do would be to get the right top 10 in there. Instead of adding 8 more people to compete against. Because if you made the top 10 initially, you're like, that's not really fair. I already made the top 10, right? So why would I have to compete with more contestants? And eventually, like as I said, Angelique from Pampanga made the top 5. Whether if she was already supposed to be in the top 10, then that's fair. That makes sense. But at the same time, ang hirap din nun eh. You are adding more people to I guess, fight against. I mean, it's not really a fight, but you're adding more people who can take your spot from you. So, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing, I mean, like, if you saw people talking about it online, the production was very, it seemed amateur at some points. And the hosts of the day, on the day, Sian Lim, and I think Alden was there as well, right? Parang there was a issue with, like, the teleprompter, you know, very, beginner mistakes that should not happen on an event of this scale, because Miss Universe, as they say, is the Super Bowl of the Philippines for, you know, it's one of the biggest events watched by hundreds of thousands of people on Facebook, on YouTube. So they need to step up in all aspects. But at the end of the day, Michelle D won, and even there was controversy. People were saying, and I thought Miss Bohol was going to win, but based on the Q&A and everything, I think congratulations to her, and I don't think she didn't deserve to win. And that's what I feel like is an issue with what people are saying online, that she shouldn't have won. There's people saying that there is elements of nepotism because she knows, like, people in the pageant, whatever. I don't even know the whole story behind it.
Right.
But can't we just be happy about
and
for
her? And that's the thing, kasi. Yeah, and that's the thing. Whenever these discrepancies happen and technical issues, biglang people can actually have something to blame, and people can actually, like, bring these things up. Na parang there's nepotism, there's cheating or whatever, because these things happen. Can you imagine, like, a smooth, you know, calm event?
Wala ka na masasabi.
Diba? Wala ka na masasabi, diba? But I mean, like we said, it is a big thing in the Philippines.
Yes.
And a lot of people have a lot of things to say about it. Every single year, there will always be an issue. And I don't know if it's like, obviously, I mean, like, it is important for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But why? I'm not hating on them, but why? Like, I mean. This is not like, I mean, it's great that if we win, like, we showcase the Philippines, but what really impact does it have other than, like, we are the most beautiful / whatever intelligent country for this year?
Actually,
there's deeper
stuff, right?
There's deeper
stuff. Like you said, no hate on it. It's just that, if you look at the bigger picture, what does it do for the Philippines? Because it doesn't really... I mean, like, every single year, yes, we are in the Miss Universe and stuff like that. And we do, it's such a big platform, but it doesn't really make a difference.
No, like, because the way I see it.
People's lives.
Yeah,
people are still struggling every single day. The transport system is still trash. Mm. You know, the roads going into different, like, provinces and everything, they're still... You know, what's happening.
Right? Like, I'm glad that they get to share their platforms on a big stage. But think about the Miss Universes that won in the past. What have you learned from them? I haven't, unless it's Miss Philippines who wins, Do you think the Filipinos here follow the advocacies and the stories of the Miss Universe from another country? Mm-hmm. Maybe a few. I'm not saying I don't want to, you know, alienate people who do that, but I highly doubt that we know what. I don't even remember who won Miss Universe last year, but did you follow what she did in this year during her reign? Most of you will probably say no, if you be honest with yourself. And I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying that there's, it's not the end all, right? We shouldn't take it as seriously. Some people take it way too serious for something that doesn't impact as much as I would like it to impact. It doesn't really impact that much, I feel. That's my personal thoughts, all right? You can bash me all you want. That's how I feel.
Honestly, like for me, there are some times wherein I doubt these things that's like big that's happening in the entertainment world in the Philippines. I kind of like always take a step back and think that, are we just distracting ourselves from the actual issues that we need to be up in arms for, you know?
Yeah, 'Cause, diba, na 100%.
Parang, right? Are we just getting distracted with everything? With all of these, you know, like issues, like love themes and movies and everything, are people forgetting na parang
the real things, the issues.
The real things, exactly.
People are more outspoken about these things, these like, you know, these issues that you mentioned, Miss Universe, love teams. People are more outspoken and passionate about that than talking about what happens in real life. You know?
Freaking ex ni Moira de la Torre.
Dude, I mean, come on, bro.
I don't freaking care, bro.
What the fuck do I care? You posted a story, bro.
Here's the thing, okay? We're not hating on anybody specifically. We're not hating on you because, to be honest, tayo din, di ba?
Yeah, we do that. That's what we do. We talk about that shit on the podcast.
These things.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know where it boils down. I don't know if it's like a systemic thing, if it's a culture thing or whatever. It's just that, all the times that I was caught up in all of these issues in the entertainment world, I just forget what's happening like in politics, in the government, and diba yung parang healthcare, things that affect us personally and individually.
Yeah.
How come wala akong pake na ang hirap kumuha ng PhilHealth? Yeah. Bakit wala akong pake na ang dami pa ding fixer pagdating sa
government
pagkuha ng driver's license or ng government license or whatever? How come I don't care about those things but I care so much sa ex ni Moira de la Torre? Yung parang minsan mapapaisip ka din eh. You kind of have to take a step back.
Yeah.
Diba?
So and I guess the bottom line is just maybe open up your eyes to other things. And you still enjoy the entertainment / ni Moira / Philippine Miss Universe. You can do all of that, but maybe give a little more room to the other things that matter. That really matter.
Right? Wala pa din akong pakin sa ex ni Moira.
Me too. All right, shall we wapow to our final TT?
Wapow!
Okay, we're talking Slater Young. You know, husband of Chris Uy. And let's just talk real quick. You've probably heard the issue, but basically on their podcast, which has now been deleted from their, you know, from their podcast page and from their YouTube page, there was a listener on the podcast who asked them a question, or actually not asked for a question, asked for advice.
So they sent a letter.
They sent a letter. Basically, the letter said something along the lines of, so she's a woman and her husband was kind of, it was about like fantasizing about other women. Is it normal? Is it something that people do? And Slater's response to that was that it was, which drew a lot of backlash, was he said it's very, very normal for men to do so, adding it's just a matter of fact that there are many other women more attractive or just as attractive. And then he went on to talk about, like, let's say you're part of a group chat, and then if there are guys in there who are single who post, you know, hot babes or whatnot, obviously not verbatim, but this is kind of the gist of it. He said, like, sakyan mo lang, wala naman, hindi mo naman gusto talaga. Like, he's talking on behalf of himself. So saying, like, even though he sees these things, he's like, oh, whatever, it's okay. Yeah. And people gave him a lot of shit for that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. And actually, he did post an apology video. They went on the podcast again, and they had an apology. He says that it's been an eye-opening few days, obviously, when that thing happened. And na-realize niya, and they did boil down that the problem was him saying that it's normal.
Yeah.
Because for me, in my opinion, it doesn't mean that something is happening all the time. Doesn't mean it's supposed to. You know, yeah, nangyari siya, you know, like people send photos of, you know, women all the time. It happens, but it's not supposed to happen. It's not to, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And the fact that he said that it's normal, it's nothing, when, okay, fine, maybe like not all the time it ruins people's lives, but sometimes it does.
It does, yeah, it could.
Right?
It does.
It could. Yung parang you talk about these women like they're objects, and we've seen it before. Yung anak before ni like ni Sunshine Cruz,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
You know, like that. Her classmates talking about her and the mother like they're just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're just like, oh, alam mo titirahin ganun or something. Sorry for the term, but
no, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Ganon. So, and I feel like maybe one of the reasons why, you know, people are also so open to saying that is because they don't experience it firsthand. And if you think about it, if I were in that situation, and I feel like I have been in similar situations, not exactly this one, that, you know, people send my photo or whatever.
Yeah.
Kasi, wala kayong masasend kundi photo ng aso ko or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I've been in similar situations where I felt like, ito ba yung tingin mo sa akin that I am just this?
Mm.
Na hanggang dito lang ba yung tingin mo sa akin na hanggang, you know,
katawan lang.
Ito lang, katawan lang ako or ito lang ako? You know what I mean? Like, That's, and it hurts, you know, it hurts. It makes you think about stuff, about your life, about yourself.
Yeah.
We
discussed this one time. Remember we were going through your IG and I was like, look at all the photos where you post like, you know, with a bikini or something,
yeah,
and look at the number of shares and saves it has,
exactly,
versus a photo of you wearing, you know, if you're more covered up in a sense, and how many shares and saves that gets. And the difference is night and day, right? It's night and day,
yeah,
which means it's something that happens all the time. And although in an ideal world, it would be nice if that didn't happen. I guess the question to ask here is, how villainous is it to do it? Because the way Slater posted, and I don't know if I'm going to get bashed for this. There's, I also think, like, for example, when we talk about, I'm sure there are group chats of, let's say, all women who post maybe their celebrity crushes. And I'm sure somewhere in the history of planet Earth right now, someone has a certain line that might be like, I want Channing Tatum. I want to sit on Channing Tatum's face. Something like that. Something sexual. That I'm sure has been sent by a woman to another woman in a group chat. I don't want to generalize, but I feel like that's something, you know, just to kind of get away from the double standard there. It's something that happens as well.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, these women, sometimes they might be married, they might have kids. Is it wrong to fantasize about a celebrity? I guess that's another question that you can bring up. We don't have time to kind of delve into all these things. So based on what Slater said, I kind of got where he was coming from, but the way that he phrased it was also super, it made it seem like it's inevitable, which I think is the thing that really is the wrong part of that.
And I think there's also a part there where, because this person sent a letter from them, you know, I have a problem, and
yes,
this is what I
that's
feel.
Exactly what
kind
it is.
Kind of like, not giving, what's that term? When you're not affirming people's feelings. Yeah.
You're not recognizing what their
exactly
feelings
are. There's this fan who came forward to them, who came to them and asked for their advice, and he just said, that's normal, don't feel that way.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
a little messed up.
Not in that tone, but
right.
Kind of but you know what I mean? Na parang, it's normal, you know, it happens, and then proceeds giving examples.
Yeah.
And it kind of, and then in his apology video also, he did say that I made a mistake because I'm giving it power to say it's okay.
There we
and
go.
He knows. And which is honestly for me, I'm glad that he knows that he has this responsibility and this power, that a lot of people are listening to them and, you know, they're taking their word whenever they say something, that he has that kind of power.
Yeah.
You know, in that podcast. Na, pwedeng, that can actually bleed into people's lives and bleed into people's conversations. that can initially, like, you know, make them say, like, at the back of their heads, well, narinig ko na to eh. Narinig ko na to in a podcast. So maybe it's okay to say to my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the problem lies. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, everything is just like, we're good, we're okay. I'm guessing we're okay with Slater Young. He admitted what he said. It's just that this whole issue is still here.
Yeah. It
still happens.
It happens. It happens. And
kasi, for me, kasi, honestly, sorry.
Go lang.
Not to go on and on and on about it. But for me, I guess saying that that's not okay, because like you said, can you question mo din na parang, how villainous is this?
Yeah.
You know, is it really ruining people's lives? But it will start somewhere, and it usually starts in this
in a harmless fashion,
you know, harmless
right?
thing, mm. in a harmless fashion, and then it goes on and on and on because kasi okay lang, and then you start sending people's like private videos of
there
their sexual encounters, and then you know like, and then you post it. And then they don't get a job. And then you know what I mean? Like,
it gets dark, man. Like, I mean, I remember we talked about that issue about these college student, mostly, I'm guessing all men, sharing a Google Drive of all their exes, like their nudes and stuff. We talked about it on the podcast before. Like, that shit is fucking disgusting, bro. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, see, Papa God is mad, bro. You hear the thunder? They know. He knows, bro.
Just talking about it?
He knows, bro.
Like, no, bro.
They know, bro.
Stop it.
Stop
just
it.
Like halt, okay? Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess to wrap this up, because there's so much to unpack and there's so many aspects and layers of this that I feel like we could talk about for literally a whole podcast. But at the end of the day, any final thoughts on this issue? What is your advice to our listeners out there as well? Like, how do you think, like, what's the takeaway from this whole issue? If you can summarize.
Honestly,
I don't know.
I cannot summarize it because I know that even if, yeah, we talk about it and stuff like that, it still happens. But like we said, like if something is difficult to talk about it, we should.
On my end, then, just to kind of close it, I guess, think about what you send and think about what you share, whether it be in public or in private. And think about it. That's all it is. Think about it more, right? You know, if you share like the latest Kim Kardashian photo, where her, you know, like maybe she looks amazing. Maybe that's not something so bad, but if you share something that could, you know, and then after you share it, you're like, you start talking stuff, you start saying stuff that you wouldn't want anybody to hear. That's when you start questioning your morality and your morals and like you as a person. That's why you watch Ted Lasso. I'm telling you. That's why you watch Ted Lasso, man. Shall we wapow, I guess, to our final thing?
Wapow.
All right. Let's do some odd diva real quick. We're talking about... Oh, it's time to do some odd.
Odd. Oh, that's you.
It's time to do some odd.
Diva.
Yeah, we're talking about Taylor Swift. We all know that she is on tour right now. Her Eras Tour. It's selling out. Seats are sometimes up to $5,000. Like, people are selling their tickets because that is
that's hot
of a number. And I guess because of that, some fans are looking to make some money back.
That's bonkers.
Yeah,
$5,000?
Some fans are looking to make some money back by selling memorabilia of stuff that they got on the show. And you would think normally, right, Rika G, maybe you think like a light or like a shirt. But no, some fans are selling pieces of confetti.
Okay,
that rain down. Right. Go ahead. Tell me, BTS
army. I've seen this in, like, you know, BTS fangirls and fanboys and everything, that they get the confetti and they put it in a frame with a ticket and a photo and the wristband and everything. And I get that. But to sell it, that's another thing. I feel like that's another layer.
Yeah.
That kind of makes it a little bit more complicated. But then again, if you think about it, like, ako, I feel like as a fan, I would still buy something.
Might
be worth it because, you know, the concert of BTS won't happen again in Wembley. Mm. We don't know.
Yeah,
so,
we never know.
So, diba, parang you kind of want to get that memorabilia. But then again, like, how are you sure that that's from there?
Yeah, well, we won't know. Like, I mean, for example, when we go back to the confetti, some people are selling them in pieces of 50. Wala man ano, wala mang ticket, wala mang ano, like anything.
Gago.
Like, yeah, for $55 for a bulk of like confetti.
Wow.
Yeah, but the craziest one. That's why I think it was worthy of an odd diba. Some people are selling, and I get this, Rika G, authentic air in a Ziploc bag.
No
from
way.
Taylor Swift's
no way, bro.
Show in Massachusetts. Foxborough,
no way,
Massachusetts. 100% authentic air. Starting bid on
Shut
eBay. $100, baby. Look what you made
Shut
me
your
do,
hole.
Taylor
that is
Swift.
Not happening. No way. Taylor Swift should go on her Instagram and tell her fans, stop it.
Stop it.
Stop scamming people. You know what? I want to call for Taylor Swift to go on her Instagram live and be like, guys, you know, I get the confetti.
Yeah.
I get the tickets.
But the
but
air?
The air? I think that's too much.
Hey, but the seller did say on eBay that 100% okay. of the proceeds are going to pay off my girlfriend's student loan debt. So, in you know, I mean, gotta respect the hustle, man. I gotta respect
okay,
the hustle.
Okay, okay.
But, I mean, the level of fandom that you would have to have to even consider purchasing that, unless you're stupid rich, is like, that is nuts, man.
I mean, if you're stupid rich, I mean, you don't need to because you're probably friends with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, true.
You know?
But of course, other things being sold are physical tickets that have already been used, concert bracelets, which I get the value of that. There are some rain ponchos that I think were sold at the, on the, I guess the website, official website, that were worn at the concert, going for as high as $150 when they're originally $10. So 15 times the price. But I mean, like you said, as a fangirl, fanboy, fan whatever, fan person, some of these things might actually be something that you carry, like you are proud to buy and hang
I
on your
like
wall.
I feel like I would buy confetti.
Your shrine.
If it's not, if it's probably like five
pieces.
$5.
Oh, $5. Yeah. But ano sa ano na lang, it's confetti signed by ano RM, di ba? I get that.
Yung nilagay niya sa bibig niya tapos dinura.
There we go, di ba?
I would get that for 50.
Hell yeah, man. But yeah, that's the odd diva for today. So shout out to all the Taylor Swift fans. By the way, before we wrap this up, we do have a Q&A portion on Spotify. So if you want to ask questions on there, you can type it. If you're listening on Spotify, you can literally ask us and got this a question. Kian asked us, what do you think about Matt Healy and Taylor Swift dating? Are they really dating? I thought that was a rumor.
Ako din eh. I thought it was just a rumor because it died down. And I feel like, honestly, whenever... You know, people have tours and concerts and everything. A lot of these things pop up just to, you know, get people talking.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
To put the spotlight on them. And maybe, baka mali mo naman friends lang sila.
Maybe so, maybe so. So yeah, ask us a Q&A on Spotify. Follow us on our Facebook group, The Hala Hala Show, Leche Fam. Broad Fitz posted something, a cool video there. Nas Daily and his girlfriend apparently broke up and made a breakup video, which was actually pretty touching, given all things considered.
Also, breakup videos aren't new, right? You've seen breakup videos, right?
Yeah, like David Dobrik, yeah, and Liza Koshy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the quote at the end of that, no growth of the heart is ever a waste, I think it's such a... I've never heard that quote, but what a great quote.
Yeah,
I mean, even if you like the video, quote. Even whatever your thoughts on Nas Daily and Aline, whatever the girlfriend's name is, I thought it was a great quote to kind of... dwell upon.
End it.
Speaking of ending it, that's the end of the podcast. Rika G, talk about Our Climbs.
Yes, please subscribe to Our Climbs. We just post random videos, but mainly it's about indoor bouldering and how we keep active here in the UK. So that's what's happening there.
Like, subscribe, bell button. You can just follow me on my socials. I'm posting my Bataan stuff. And I do have a solo podcast, Tevez is the Best, where I talk to myself and Rika's not there. So it's not as fun, but it's still, I think, a good listen, right? It's still a good listen. But that's it. We'll see you next week. Extra strong, Rika G. Hala Hala Show. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.